Hey, we're back on Downtown. It is 4:30. Time for Sports Lit 101. Rich Kimble here, along with Bruce Pratt. And excited to welcome our next guest. We've talked a couple of times about his book. He's had quite a life, a five-time Olympian. And along with our friend Miles Schrag, the co-author of a wonderful book called Abdi's World, we are happy to welcome to the program Abdi Rahman. Abdi, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
You've got quite a story. What made you want to tell the world what they didn't know about you?
It's something I want to share. For me, growing up in Somalia, coming to U.S., what this country has done for me. And also, just being a five-time Olympian. And, just the opportunity that I get through my career and the people who helped me through those moments in life. That's what I want to share.
Abdi, one of the things I found so wonderful about this book is it seems to me that the little boy who loved to run around in Mogadishu is still alive as a little boy in a much older person and very successful person's body. What is it that is so enjoyable for you about distance running?
I just love running. Distance running is just, first and foremost, before distance running, I love running and I enjoy running. It's something that I'm passionate about it, and also it's just the sports that I, through the years, I grew to the sports, not wanted all the fame, everything that come with it, but just for the love of the sports, and also holding myself accountable is just because of the individual sports, and my success, my failure, everything is a part of me, and that's what I love running about it.
One of the things I found fascinating in the book, and Miles had told me about this, you didn't really start running competitively till you were 19 years old. Now, I used to be a high school track coach, and by 19, most of my people knew what they were going to be doing and what they were going to be doing for running. You came to it as a competitive sport a little later. Do you think there may have been an advantage in that?
Oh, definitely. 100% has been an advantage of mine. Because I'm a late bloomer to the sports, some of my peers started running at the younger age or middle school, elementary school, or just a local track club. For me, I missed all those foundations. I just started later age, which saved my body, all the mileage that goes through, a young age. And give me extra years, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe extra 10 years because I haven't run in high school. So, yeah.
You are headed to Ethiopia here next month to do some training at high altitude. Do you have a specific goal in mind, or is this something that it's part of your life and you wouldn't be happy if you couldn't do it?
To be honest, it's a part of my life. I love running, and even if I stop as a professional distance runner tomorrow, it's something that I will be doing the rest of my life as long as I can do it. And also, just going to Ethiopia next month to train for it, because sometimes I like to focus, I don't like that much distraction, when I'm home, you have a lot of stuff to do. Sometimes you meet up with friends, you always have an obligation. Mm-hmm. But when you go to Ethiopia, that's when you have less distraction and you don't have that much obligation because you're in a foreign country at that time and you're there for one thing and one thing only, and that thing is to train.
Now, running is such a unique sport. For you personally, were you competing against other runners, or were you competing against yourself?
During the race you compete with against other runners. But during the training you do not compete. You don't run against your competition because you are just by yourself, or you're training with your teammates or with your coach, and that's when you build the muscle foundation, and that's the competition with yourself. Sometimes you see how fast you can go. What's your long run? Sometimes as a runners, we run in the same loop sometimes, and you're always trying to compare that loop, how fast you run, how better you are. Are you getting better or are you slowing down? And that's how you measure your training. And by the time you get to the race, you know what you're capable of.
Now, in the last several years here in Maine, many people have arrived here from Somalia. In fact, we have just seen the city of South Portland elect a Somali woman as mayor. Now, I think it would be really great if we had a race here that you could be in that would be able to help inspire those people as much as you've been inspired. Any chance we can get you to race in Maine? It's cold here.
Oh my God, I love, you know, to be honest, like, funny thing is, like, you know, Portland, Maine is one of my favorite cities in the U.S., to be honest, and I don't know if you knew this before, but I've been to Portland, Maine many times. I have a lot of friends who live there. I've been to Farmer Maid, you know, just I've been to Cape Cod, you know, and I have also, and I'm good friend with Joey Bernard. She's a great friend. She's a mentor. She's someone that I look up to and someone that I appreciate what she have done for the sports. And although I found out recently that a lot of Somali immigrants have immigrated to Portland, Maine, which become a big part of the community. And you know what? That would be my honor if I come, if I ever come back to Portland, I would love to do a race there. I don't know how soon that will be. It can be this year, next year. So, you know, just if something is, I even told people, like, I want to move to Portland. I say, I want to live there sometimes. And they say, do you know how cold it gets there? Because when I go there, it's during the summertime.
Yeah.
They say, you see the beautiful thing. Have you ever been here in the wintertime? And I said, no. They say, why don't you come visit there in the wintertime before you say that?
Now, when you've been in five Olympics, you tried to qualify for six. When you didn't make it because of injuries and other things, what did you say to yourself then that made you say, I'm going to keep going and eventually qualify two more times?
You know, to be honest, 2016, I remember 3 weeks after Olympic trials, I got injured, I had a calf problem, you know, just and it's not like I didn't make it. It was the injury prevented me to competing at the trials.
Right.
I didn't even make it to the starting lineup, you know, so and I knew how good of a shape I was, and I knew what I was capable of. You know, I'm not taking away from anything those athletes who make at the Olympics in 2016. But I thought if I would have run that day, I would have made the Olympic team just because of my fitness and what I was doing. And, you know, and I always, like, as I say, you compare yourself to the workout that you do. And that's, I think, how to be. I've done that year some of the best workout that I have done. And I remember coming back the same year, running the New York City Marathon and finishing world major at the podium. And that just gave me the confidence that I say, hey, you could have made that team. So why should I stop running now if I'm still enjoying and I'm still good at it? And that just gave me the you know, the motivation that to keep continuing and shoot for the 2020.
You have also had a remarkably long relationship with one coach. And while I know that's not unique in the world of running, it's uncommon to have someone to be work with for so many years. Could you talk about him a little bit?
Yeah, you know, Coach Murray, to be honest, like, I've been working with Coach Murray since I was, I think, 18 years old, since I was out, you know, first year at the U of A, and that was like a 1998. Until now, and at the end of the day, there's a point where things were not going well. I was struggling with injury, you know, I was not running well. But all those things, the thing that outweighed those things because I have so much success under him, except a few times where things were not going well. But for me, I always look back and I say, you know what, how many good races, how many great things you have done under this coach. And I look back, and there were so many, and I'd waited all the bad races. So that's the one thing. And I said, you know what? And one thing for me, I was in it for the long run. I wasn't in it for the short run or looking for a quick fix. What can I get out of it today? For me, you know what? I was enjoying it, and I was in it for the long run. And Coach Murray took me there.
One of the things I knew when I coached track, and I was a sprinter and a hurdler, and I was lucky to have very good distance coaches. What I noticed was when my kids, whether it was the girls or the boys, were going out for a long run on a long work day, that there was this attitude of real happiness that they were all going together, that there was something about training together that made a big difference. And I've got to say that sprinters, on the other hand, don't like to socialize when they're practicing because they all think they're the best and they're going to do it all on their own. Is there something about running in a group that elevates that?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, like, I think, like, cross country as a distance runner is it's not like, I wouldn't say it's a team sport, but that's the closest as you can get as a team sport, like a football, soccer, basketball, baseball. And also, like, you know, when you have a high school cross country team or high school, you know, just like they all like them, distance team, they might run different events, all of them, but they always train together as a group. And that's exactly the same as I was, you know, training for the marathon. You know, I was not training by myself. I was training with a group of guys who were doing the same thing as I was doing. And we always enjoy running with each other, you know, 20 plus miles. It makes that much easier than running by yourself, you know, just like that. It's a lonely road when you're running like two plus hours. But when you're running with a group of guys who have the same goals or shooting the same goals as you're shooting for, it makes that much easier. So, yeah.
One of the other things I found fascinating in this book was that for the longest time you didn't return to Africa to train. But when you did, you seemed to find, and I may have read this a little wrong, but it seemed to me that you were able to even focus in a sharper way. Is that a fair assessment?
That's definitely a fair assessment. You know, when I was in the U.S., you know, just so we have everything that you could ever want in life, to be honest. We have the cars, we have the nice, like, you know, it's a great lifestyle we have in the U.S., you know. And only the people who can say that is the people who lived here and traveled to Africa and trained there and see what those guys go through daily basis, and like they don't have access to all the things that we have access to. Like for me, when I went back to Ethiopia in 2015, it just appreciated more what I have, and also make me work harder, and also make me more focused and find out what I wanted, you know, just, and also like less distraction when I'm there. I don't have the cars, you know, I don't have everything that I wanted. Just only one thing that I was there for was just to run, not to hang out with friends or to do anything, even though I have a lot of friends there. We all wanted the same thing. So just we'll go run, come back to our rental house, just make dinner, rest, maybe walk around a little bit and do the same thing again in the afternoon. And that we can do that in the U.S., but sometimes you get a little distraction here and there.
We're talking with Abdi Rahman here on Downtown. I'm curious, Abdi, if you wouldn't mind sharing, as someone who chose to live here in America, those of us who were born here sometimes forget, what made you want to be an American, and what is it that you love about this country?
You know, to be honest, first and foremost, you know, America is that, and I can say this in, like, you know, clean heart and knowing everything. So just, and I say America is one of the great country that the earth, to be honest, because of, and I say that because I have traveled all over the world because of the freedom that we have and the thing that we are capable of doing it. And just like, and also, you know, just like there's no any other country that equals the U.S. And I, you know, just for me, just no one will ever tell me you cannot do anything. Just everything that I want to do, as long as I work hard and I want put 100% effort, that's something I'm capable of doing it. Just, and that's what makes this country great.
You have trained in different locations in the U.S., Flagstaff, up in near Tahoe, Tucson. You still call Tucson home, and I find that really laudable. It's where you came. You didn't leave for some sexy, fancy place. You stayed where you put down roots when you came here. You were 12, as I remember, when you came here. Yeah. Do you find that you have a running community there that you've helped sustain?
You know, just every, I, to be honest, I'm first and foremost, you know, I came to Tucson in 1990s, and I'm still here. Just from a few months here and there. Tucson always been home, to be honest. Even if I'm like Arizona, I would say been home for me. And if I'm away from Arizona like for a month or two, I'm kind of already miss it. And the running community in Tucson have been so supportive of me. And just, you know, just I didn't have like a chance to interact with them the past few years because of my competition schedule and my travel itinerary, but I'm looking forward to working with them and being a part of the community as community runner. Actually, I'm doing this weekend, you know, community event in Tucson on tomorrow, actually Thursday the 16th. So, you know, I'm just something that I always want to do, but it's just I'm starting now to be a part of the running community in Tucson.
So as you look forward into the next couple of years, What is is your plan? I mean, I know you're a long-term guy, long-distance, long-term guy. But over the next couple of years, what are you sort of hoping to be doing?
Next, you know, just to be honest, I'm hoping I'm going to be a great role model to the, you know, my community, especially the young boy and girls who are coming up who want to become a distance runner. I want to be a great mentor, and also I want to give back my, you know, my community, my country back home in Somalia. You know, just I have the platform and the platform to help them, and I'm starting my nonprofit organization, which is like a Right to Have Hope Foundation, because we all have someone who help us through our journey, whatever we're doing in life, someone who mentor us, someone who tell us what to do. For my example, as my book say, Coach Murray was like, you know, someone who gave me hope and foundation. So that's why I call them my foundation, Right to Have Hope, because everybody right to have hope. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, you have the right to have a dream, and that's if I can make one or two kids their dream come through, that would be just great for me.
Abdi, this has been a great pleasure for me, and you're someone I've admired for a very, very long time. I thank you and Miles for doing this book, and I hope that we'll be able to talk to you again sometime in the future.
All right, well, thank you for having me again.
It was our pleasure.
Abdi Rahman with us here on Sports Lit 101.